For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller. South Carolina composer and music professor Dr. Richard Maltz considers family important. Indeed, he thrives on connecting familial bonds with his passion for creating music. The piece you're hearing now, Rib Roll Occhioli, is the fourth movement of Richard's Symphony No. 2, Fraternal. The symphony, which Richard wrote as a musical tribute to the memory of his brother Gary, is part of an upcoming program at the USC Aiken Etheridge Center entitled Mostly Maltz, Classicism Revisited. Also on the program, the premiere performance of a piano concerto given by Richard's son Daniel Adam Maltz, for whom he wrote the work. Recently, I had the chance to speak with the father-son pair about these compositions, especially how they've been shaped by family ties and a mutual love for classicism. These are a few highlights from that conversation. Richard, Daniel, it's a real pleasure to have both of you in the studio. Not too often that I have a father-son pair in here.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up soon at the USC Aiken Etheridge Center is a program entitled Mostly Maltz, Classicism Revisited, and you both have a pretty big role in this program. Richard, we'll start with you. What are you contributing to this event?
Well, I'm the composer of the music. I have a couple of pieces that are going to be programmed, a symphony and a concerto. They're both major works that I've spent quite a bit of time on, and looking forward to having those notes get out in the air.
And Daniel, how about your role?
Well, I'll be the soloist for the piano concerto in the second half of the program, and so that'll be very exciting.
So you're giving the premiere performance of your dad's piano concerto. What's it like playing a work written by him? Would you say it's more nerve-wracking, or because it's in the family, a little less stressful?
Well, it's extremely special to have this opportunity to know a composer so intimately. So if anything, it gives me more insight to the music, and I approach it with the same seriousness that I would approach anything that I perform, but just with that added layer of knowing, you know, a little bit insight into the meaning of it all.
Now, is your father the one that got you started in your music study, or did you begin in another way?
No, he was my introduction, which is what makes this so special. I can remember as a very young boy sitting at the piano bench with him, and I would take the right hand of a Beethoven sonata, and he'd take the left hand. And this was just sort of how I explored music and grew to love it.
Richard, when you were writing this piano concerto, did you take into consideration the particular musical strengths that Daniel has at the keyboard, or is this a work that might be performed by anyone?
Well, it's a work that might be performed by anyone, but it is special in that it was written particularly for Daniel. Daniel asked me to write the piece for him. I had composed music for him in the past, and I'm always happy to do that. So it was written for him in mind, but nothing unique to his techniques or abilities. It's a piece that I hope to get a lot of mileage out, a lot of mileage from in the future by various performers.
Were you inspired particularly by any previous composers' piano concerti, or is this work something that's pretty new for you?
Stylistically, it is neoclassical. We're calling the concert Classicism Revisited, because I'm heavily influenced by classical music. Beethoven is the biggest influence on me of any composer. In fact, we're opening the program with a piece by Beethoven. I think that'll set a nice appetizer for the event. But both of these works, the symphony and the concerto, are very classical in nature, sort of the style that I've gone with for these pieces.
Why classicism, say, as opposed to perhaps taking a different musical take? I guess simply mm-hmm. to put it one way, why do you have this love for classicism?
Well, it's an excellent question. I do love a variety of musics like most musicians do. I'm very influenced by lots of the 20th century composers and beyond, the romantic composers certainly. And it's hard to separate out classicism from what came before and what came after. You know, everything influences everything else and so forth. But there's something about the classical era, and I think in particular Beethoven. And, you know, Beethoven, while he was a classical composer, he also forged his way into the Romantic era and actually defined it, I would say. And so I'm influenced by the classical ideals that you find in Beethoven's music, more so than other composers. And just the emotion, the expression, the lyricism, the symmetry of forms in some way, just the clarity of the music, but above all, the way that it communicates. It communicated to me, it's hard, it's not tangible, it's hard to put your finger on what it is about music that really touches you to your core. But for me, it was always the music of Beethoven more than any other. And I don't try to emulate Beethoven, but people will tell me sometimes, you know, that reminded me of something I heard in Beethoven's Seventh Symphony or something I heard in this work. And while I want to be original and want to be recognized as sounding like Maltz, I certainly don't take it as an insult that sometimes Beethoven might get referenced.
Daniel, do you share that interest in or love for neoclassical classical music, or would you say you're more of an avant-garde person?
Very much steeped in classicism is what I love. It was my introduction to music from my father, and I've been lucky enough to have lived in Vienna for 2 years, and that heavily influenced my love of this music, to be able to walk the streets of the great masters and to find my dream apartment, which is, you know, around the corner from where Mozart wrote The Marriage of Figaro. To be steeped in that tradition and that ethos, it all made sense to me as the music I've connected with. So the music of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, these classical masters, is what I do normally. So this is actually a bit of a stretch for me, new music. So quite the opposite.
So when it comes to this particular work of new music, how much would you say that interpretation is in the part of the performer and how much is in the part of the composer? I mean, have there been any disagreements between you two about how a certain passage should be performed? Daniel, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, actually very poignant. Of course, you know, when I approach any other piece that I play, you know, the composer's dead. That's what makes this program special. And so, you know, there might be public opinion or general performance ideas about how things should sound, but you can pretty much make a case for anything you want to do as far as your interpretation goes. And, you know, the individual is very important in music. You know, I always try to focus on solo live performance and the art of being in the concert hall and hearing music performed by an individual. And so I feel like my dad's been very fair about letting me have my ideas and the interpretation. Of course, we've talked about it when we look at it together, what he was thinking, what I'm thinking, and we come to hear each other's opinions and come to a conclusion that we both feel is best for the music.
Yeah, you know, I think all a composer ever wants, or I'll speak for myself, is, you know, play the correct rhythms, play the right notes, put them in the right places, and hopefully the music will communicate. But you could get a computer to do that, and we want humans to do that, of course. We want people to express feelings. So there's always little points here or there. You know, not everything that I intend can be notated, so a lot has to be discussed. But Daniel's very musical, very sensitive pianist, and that's why I enjoy writing for him. One of the reasons I enjoy writing for him, of course. And, you know, I really sort of let him take it, you know, let him take it and do what he wants to it. He's the one that's playing it. He's the performer. I don't want him to try to do something against his musical instincts because somebody said that's the way this should be interpreted. So let him fly with it. I wrote it for him, after all.
Richard, also on the program is a work entitled Symphony No. 2, nicknamed The Fraternal.
Yeah.
So is this also a family composition?
It is. That's sort of one of the themes of the evening, the Fraternal Symphony, because it's dedicated to my brother, who I lost about 9 years ago. We were very close, and so this piece was written in dedication to him. Each of the movements describes events that we participated in together. We were close. We did a lot of laughing and enjoying of life, and so those memories are written into the music.
I was looking over some of the movement titles and saw Chumley, On the Golf Course, Gary's Song, and the last one stumped me just a little bit. Rib Roll Aki Oli, is that it?
Well, you pronounced it very, very correctly. Actually, the first movement, Chumley, is a very lighthearted movement because Chumley was the name of his cat. And it sort of portrays the interactions between a cat and cat owner on the golf course. Might be self-explanatory. He was an avid golfer, and we did that together. The third movement, Gary's Song, is an elegy. His name is Gary, and that's dedicated to him, of course. The fourth movement, yes, Rib Roll Occhioli, and those syllables are short for spare rib, egg roll, beef teriyaki, and Peking ravioli, Chinese appetizers, of course. And one of our favorite pastimes was going out for Chinese food and eating such things, and so that that sort of fun activity found itself into the music.
Has family and family relationships always been such an important part of your music composing process, or is this something you've discovered in more recent years?
Well, it's not always been a part of it, and it is something I've discovered in more recent years. I think the older you get, the more you realize how important family is, how important those relationships are in your life, and to share my passion, which is music and creating music, to connect it to family members is just a very meaningful experience. And so I thrive on it.
Daniel, how about for you, as someone who's now living outside of the U.S. most of the time, how do family relationships play into some of your music making, if at all?
Well, I think it absolutely does, and I'm mostly in my experience in being brought up with music, and I'm forever grateful for being introduced to it and then taking a loving to it at such a young age. It defined me from the very beginning. And, you know, the first piano concerto that I played when I was 12 was a Haydn concerto, and my father actually conducted it, and my mother was playing cello in the orchestra. And so both my parents being musicians, I came by it honestly, and in many ways I didn't really have a choice, not in a bad way, but it was what I knew and loved. And so actually on this concert as well, you know, my dad is not conducting, but him having written the piano concerto for me, now me being at this stage in my life as a professional musician to come back and to play, and again my mother will be in the orchestra playing, so it's an extremely special evening, and how often does that happen, or do you get that opportunity? So I'm very thankful.
Kind of reminds me of some of the famous musical families in history. I think about the Bach family, or even Fanny and Felix Mendelssohn sometimes coming together to perform these works, or the Schumanns. So certainly an interesting but not unprecedented performance there. Richard, Daniel, I've really enjoyed hearing from both of you about this upcoming performance and also these two works, and wish you all the best as you prepare to put the finishing touches on the symphony and the concerto.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Highlights of a conversation I had with Dr. Richard Maltz and his son, Daniel Adam Maltz. Richard, a composer and music professor at the University of South Carolina, Aiken, wrote two of the works that will be featured in the program, Mostly Maltz, Classicism Revisited, a symphony dedicated to his brother, and a piano concerto to be premiered by Daniel. The event takes place on Thursday, February 8th, at the USC Aiken Etheridge Center. More information at etheridge.usca.edu. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Bradley Fuller.